So through the night rode Paul Revere, and through the night went his cry of alarm to every Middlesex village and farm. A cry of defiance and not of fear, a voice in the darkness, a knock at the door, and a word that shall echo forevermore. Revere made it through the British blockades to warn the whole countryside. Minutemen were awakened. Bells began to peal. Pots and pans began to clang. And dogs began to bark. Finally, Revere arrived at the Clark House in Lexington.
Adams! Hancock! Adams! Hancock!
Sir, please.
Are you the keeper of this house?
I am the sergeant at arms.
Are Adams and Hancock here?
Yes, sir. But I must ask you to lower your voice.
Lower my voice?
Yes, sir, please. The ladies and gentlemen within have gone to bed and do not wish to be disturbed by any noise this night.
Noise? Noise? You'll have enough noise before long. The regulars are out. Let me by. Hancock! No. Adams!
What in place is this going on here?
Hancock, Adams.
Revere?
Yes, it's me. The regulars are out. The British are coming.
Well, at last, it begins.
You must both leave for safety at once.
Safety? Not while there's a breath left in my body. Bring me my sword!
Hancock, we've been over this 1,000 times. You cannot go into battle. You're too valuable to us elsewhere.
I shall go into battle, and none shall say me nay. Where's my gun and my boots?
Oh, my... Sergeant, bring food and drink for Revere while I try to talk some sense into Hancock. John?
That must have been some argument.
Yes, but Revere only heard part of it. While he was eating, Billy Dawes arrived from the overland route, and the two of them, joined by a third rider, a Dr. Prescott, took off for Concord.
So three riders were at Concord?
Well, not exactly. Three started out, but about halfway there, they were spotted by several British soldiers on horseback. The three tried to make a break for it. Prescott managed to get by and sped on to Concord. Dawes' horse upended him, and he scampered to safety in the thick woods.
What about Revere?
He was caught.
Blast you, sir! Stop! Stop! If you move an inch further, you're a dead man.
Ah, what do you want of me?
Keep your horse reined, or I swear I shall shoot you.
He is reined. But it's a wonder he's not scared out of his wits by your ambush of an honest man.
Dismount, sir, now!
I ask again, what do you want of me?
Where did you come from, sir?
From Boston.
Boston? What time did you leave there?
11 o'clock.
11? Sir, may I crave your name?
Revere.
What? Paul Revere?
Correct.
Oh, lovely. We only got ourselves the most famous messenger in the colonies here.
You're going to miss your mark, you know.
What?
Your mark. You're going to miss it.
I don't know what you're talking about. We're here after deserters.
I know what you're here for, and you're not going to get it.
Well, then, perhaps you better come back with us and tell our colonel what you know. Get on your horse. Grab his reins.
There's no need. I shan't run.
See that you don't, because if you do, or we're insulted in any way, I'll not hesitate to use this pistol. Now get moving.
They rode for about half a mile in silence. Suddenly, all around them, bells began to peal, pots and pans clanged together, and shouts were heard.
What's all that noise about?
To warn the countryside. You see, you're too late.
What should we do?
We've got to get back to the colonel.
What about him?
Let him go.
Let him? What? We can't!
The country's been warned. He can do no more harm to us now. Take his horse and let's go.
Get off, Revere!
We'll see who's too late. Enjoy your walk back to your friends.
Revere made his way back to Lexington, arriving at the Clark House just as the sun peeked over the green hills. There was a great commotion on the green as the Minutemen rushed to take their positions against the British soldiers. John Hancock was still bellowing about joining them.
I am not afraid to cast my lot with those brave farm boys.
John, don't be foolish. We've been elected delegates to the Continental Congress. Our duties lie elsewhere.
He's right, Hancock.
Revere!
What are you doing back here?
I was stopped by a British patrol. They took my horse and hightailed it back to their regiment. They will not hesitate to take you and possibly kill you. Both of you. You must leave at once.
Very well.
Boy, bring the carriage around.
Yes, sir.
Wait.
What is it now?
My papers. I left a trunk full of important papers at Buckman's Tavern across the green. It must not fall into British hands.
John, there is no time.
Sam, you asked me to leave those who are fighting for freedom because of my importance to the Continental Congress. Well, those papers are what make me important. I cannot leave them behind. Please.
If they're that vital, I'll retrieve them.
Revere, but you...
I've already been arrested and released. They're not interested in me. I'll deliver the trunk to you outside of town. Now go!
Hancock finally agreed and sent his clerk Lowell with Revere. They ran to Buckman's Tavern, retrieved the trunk, and made their way across the green. Halfway back, Revere looked around. What he saw startled him. To his right, perhaps 70 Minutemen under the command of Captain Jonas Parker held a ragged line at the edge of the green. To his left, 600 British Light Infantry and Grenadiers under the command of Major Pitcairn stood in picture-perfect rows. Each commander barked out orders.
Let the Brits pass by, lads. We'll not molest them unless they begin first.
Disperse, ye rebels! Ye villains, disperse! Lay down your arms!
Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have a war, let it begin here.
Revere and Lowell continued on with their load, each silently praying that both armies would back away. And suddenly, just as they cleared the field...
Dear heaven.
Who fired it?
I don't know. I couldn't see.
Form line!
Dear heaven.
Set!
No!
Fire!
Captain Parker!
Stay where you are, Lowell.
But, sir...
We have a job to do, lad. Now let's go.
Yes, sir.
And so, the war begins.
Wow. Paul Revere was there from the start.
He was. He witnessed the shot heard around the world. A shot that rang out for liberty.
What a brave man.
Yes, he was. Because he lived in a time of bravery. But you know, his time really wasn't so unlike ours. And he really wasn't any more brave than we are. He simply had a task to do, and he did it. Our task is to make sure Paul Revere's midnight ride is remembered, and that what he rode for, liberty, is preserved.
You know, Paul Revere and the other founding fathers were able to accomplish so much because they were men of great faith. What they did out of a profound sense of duty, not just to the infant United States, but more importantly, to God. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.